This is Janelle Yates, Senior Editor of OBG Management. The past year has seen an unusual amount of data published on various aspects of hormone therapy, from its effect on cardiovascular health and dementia to the relative safety of different routes of administration. So much data has been published in this in recent years, in fact, that it may be difficult at any given moment to determine what we know about the risks and benefits of hormone therapy and apply that knowledge to clinical practice. Enter Dr. Andrew Kaunitz, author of the update on menopause in the May 2011 issue of OBG Management. Dr. Kaunitz presents the latest data in context, reviewing the fine points and offering pearls about applying the data to clinical practice. In this audiocast, he describes the overall risk-benefit profile of hormone therapy in the year 2011. Dr. Kaunitz is professor and associate chairman in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Florida College of Medicine, Jacksonville. He also serves on the OBG Management Board of Editors. Dr. Kaunitz, some of the studies you reviewed in your update on menopause concern the relative safety of transdermal estrogen compared to oral administration. What exactly do those studies show?
Janelle, we've known for a number of years that transdermal estrogen therapy for menopausal symptoms seems to be safer with respect to thrombosis, specifically with respect to venous thromboembolism, including DVT and pulmonary embolism. For that reason, I have preferentially used transdermal or patch estrogen in my practice for a number of years due to reports out of France indicating that transdermal estrogen, unlike oral estrogen in the menopause, does not increase the risk of DVT and PE. The data I included in my update, a British article that adds to our understanding of a greater safety profile for transdermal estrogen. And specifically, we saw that the risk of stroke in menopausal women is lower when transdermal estrogen, specifically patches with 0.05 milligrams or lower doses of estrogen, are used. And so I think this just adds to our reassurance that patch estrogen, when used at the dose of 0.05 or lower, is the safest way to go.
In your update, you also discuss a recent study from the Women's Health Initiative showing that breast cancers in women taking oral estrogen progestin hormone therapy are more likely to be node positive and carry a higher mortality rate than breast cancers in non-users of hormone therapy. How do you counsel your patients about these risks?
You know, we've known since Women's Health Initiative first came out in 2002, the findings from the estrogen progestin versus placebo clinical trial, we've been aware that there is a small increased risk of invasive breast cancer with long-term use, use more than 5 years, of estrogen progestin hormone therapy. However, older observational data, a number of older observational studies, have suggested that when breast cancer is diagnosed in women using hormones, those breast cancers are smaller, lower stage, and better prognosis than breast cancers diagnosed in women not using hormones. We now have data from the Women's Health Initiative study of estrogen progestin versus placebo. Of course, these were the women with an intact uterus randomized to estrogen progestin versus placebo, showing that not only is there a small increased risk of being diagnosed with invasive breast cancer with combination hormone therapy use, but that these breast cancers are more likely to be node positive and have a higher mortality rate than breast cancers diagnosed in placebo users. This is a sobering finding. Certainly this is not good news, And I think women need to understand that the increased risk of invasive breast cancer with estrogen progestin therapy is real. And it applies not only to a higher risk of being diagnosed with invasive breast cancer, but also a slightly or modestly higher risk of dying from invasive breast cancer. So as we look at benefits and risk of hormone therapy, this sobering finding regarding estrogen progestin therapy and mortality from breast cancer becomes relevant and important.
Other evidence you highlight reveals how the timing of hormone therapy influences its effect on cardiovascular health and also dementia. Could you elaborate on these findings?
Well, a question I get periodically from menopausal women who are considering the pros and cons of starting or continuing hormone therapy is whether or not this therapy impacts their future risk of being diagnosed with dementia. Women are very concerned about dementia for several reasons. First of all, women are much more so than men are the primary caregivers to relatives and others with dementia. And also the incidence of dementia is somewhat higher in women than in men. So this is a very major area of concern for menopausal women as they age. We know from observational studies that hormone therapy appears to protect against dementia. However, early findings from the Women's Health Initiative Memory Study, in which the youngest women were in their early 60s, age 63 was the mean age of women entering the Women's Health Initiative Memory Study. We know that the findings from this WHI memory study was that when hormone therapy is used by older menopausal women, women in their 60s and 70s, it certainly was not protective and, if anything, increased the progression of cognitive loss, of cognitive dysfunction or dementia. With that perspective, I found fascinating a recent large cohort study from Kaiser Permanente, the West Coast HMO, which had the statistical power and also the longevity to assess dementia incidence by hormone use, by specifically by age or timing of hormone use. And what grabbed my attention was that when hormone therapy in this large West Coast cohort study, when hormone therapy was used by younger menopausal women, women in their late 40s or women in their 50s, there was a strong suggestion of protection. With use of hormone therapy by older menopausal women, for instance, women in their 60s or 70s, we certainly did not see this protection. So, in fact, this finding from the Kaiser Permanente analysis is, in fact, not inconsistent. In fact, if anything, it's consistent with Women's Health Initiative. I think it's very clear that we should not initiate hormone therapy in older menopausal women with the goal of preventing cognitive decline. But as with other high-quality observational studies, this new cohort analysis from Kaiser Permanente suggests that when younger menopausal women, women in their late 40s or early 50s, initiate and continue hormone therapy, it may, I would emphasize may, since this is an observational, not a randomized clinical trial, but based on this observational cohort analysis from Kaiser Permanente, I do now counsel my patients that when young menopausal women use hormone therapy, they may reduce their future risk of being diagnosed with dementia.
One surprising study from the Women's Health Initiative, which was just published, reveals that unopposed estrogen in hysterectomized women actually protects against breast cancer. Do you care to comment about that study?
This was a very important new report from WHI Regretfully, it has not received a lot of media attention. And I think this goes back to what we recognize, that bad news sells a lot more newspapers than good news, because this is good news from the estrogen-only arm, the part of Women's Health Initiative where women who had a prior hysterectomy were randomized to oral conjugated equine estrogen versus placebo. This is good news from a long-term look at as these women were followed. We know that these women initially were randomized to estrogen versus placebo, and then they stopped therapy, but Women's Health Initiative has continued to follow these women. So we now have about 11 years of follow-up experience, and very reassuring news. First of all, in contrast to our data we've just discussed regarding estrogen progestin therapy, use of unopposed or estrogen-only therapy in this group of hysterectomized WHI participants actually reduced the incidence of breast cancer, not only during but also subsequent to estrogen use. So this is very, very reassuring. But this analysis from WHI, recently published in JAMA, also looked at other outcomes and looked at cardiovascular mortality and overall mortality. And it's fascinating and reassuring that use of estrogen, in fact, long-term, is associated with a reduced overall as well as specific cardiovascular mortality. So when all is said and done, and women are followed not only during but subsequent to their use of estrogen-only therapy, not only was there a reduced risk of breast cancer, but overall as well as cardiovascular mortality was reduced. Clinically, this I think allows us as clinicians to very comfortably, with great reassurance, counsel women post hysterectomy with bothersome vasomotor or other menopausal symptoms that the risk benefit profile of estrogen only therapy in younger menopausal women, because this good news applies specifically to younger menopausal women, women in their 50s, or women within 10 years of the onset of menopause, that in this age group, estrogen-only therapy has a very favorable benefit-risk profile.
Taking all these data into account, how would you sum up the clinical utility of hormone therapy in 2011?
I think we've come a long way, Janelle, since 2002 when initial findings from the WHI were published. I think we now understand that from a perspective of thrombosis, transdermal estrogen has a more favorable safety profile than does oral estrogen. Perhaps most importantly, we understand that in symptomatic younger women, because we recognize that vasomotor symptoms are most clinically relevant to young menopausal women. For young menopausal women, women in their 50s or within 10 years of the onset of menopause, who are suffering from bothersome vasomotor symptoms, I think our current understanding of the literature is that hormone therapy, both estrogen and estrogen progestin therapy, at least for several years of use, has a favorable benefit-risk profile. The risk profile is certainly not identical between estrogen-only and combination estrogen-progestin therapy. But overall, for at least several years of use, women with bothersome symptoms who represent young menopausal women, in my practice, are counseled there is a reassuring benefit-risk safety profile with respect to hormone therapy. And I would encourage those listening to this telephone cast, if you will, to directly take a look at the menopause update that will be published in the May 2011 issue of OBG Management. Thanks, Janelle.
Thank you, Dr. Kaunitz.